There we go. A little bit better?
Yeah.
All right. Here we are to number lesson number 29 on James 1:25 through 27. We'll see if we make it there, but that's the plan anyways. There's got to be a plan, right? Whether you meet those goals or not, we'll see. That's up to God. But anyways, glad to be here. And why don't we go ahead and take advantage of our 1 John 1:9, which tells us if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us those sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's a big deal in the believer's life, because we're sinners and we need that constant cleansing that we receive from God on a daily basis. So let's go ahead and do that privately. That's between you and God. And then we will get going. So let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this time that we have here to study, to get to know who you are, to learn more about your plan for our lives, and also just to bring more clarity in our personal situations that we deal with each and every day. We thank you for the information, and we ask today that we can concentrate, make these things a part of our lives, and so we can be genuine and not hypocritical in ways that it seems to be so prevalent in our day to day. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So here we are. And you might remember, I don't know, it's been a little while, about a week since we've talked about this, but last Wednesday, I guess it was, we talked quite a bit about this. I guess you could call this the freedom to bondage cycle. And remember, if you remember, this is sort of the cycle that a people or a society will inevitably take themselves through, as history has shown us, which means that they will go from basically from slavery to the point of spiritual faith, being a faithful people who are in tune with God, receive the blessings and freedom from that, and all of a sudden we lose sight of the blessor, and we eventually go back into bondage, and the cycle continues. And the reason why we did this is to show you how freedom occurs in a nation and in a people. And I tried to relate this to the spiritual component because it's very, very similar. I think a national freedom is definitely related to personal freedom and the blessings that we receive as individuals, in addition to national freedom and the blessings we receive as a nation. So there are many similarities, and we're going to talk some about that. But needless to say, the sin nature knows how to keep things spicy. I guess that's one way to put it. Because it seems like when things are going well, they really don't need a change. We'd like to change them anyways. And so that's what you see a lot of times, and that's why this can be called the cycle of doom. We always seem to put ourselves in jeopardy after we are doing great, right? But the reason why we got here is from James 1:25. So let me go ahead and just read from verse 23 to kind of get us into this, and then we will keep trucking along here and see what this is telling us. So here's verse 23. It says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was." And then here's our verse where we are. "But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty or freedom, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. So, one of the reasons I showed you the cycle was to show you how freedom is squandered away. How it's in place, and all of a sudden we experience the fruitfulness of that freedom in our country, and before you know it, we lose sight of the provider of the freedom, we lose sight of the reason we have freedom, and it goes away. And it relates to what James is saying here, because he's referring to the spiritual law of freedom, or law of liberty, which is very, very similar to what we're talking about as a nation, because we're also talking about blessings in this verse. I don't know if you caught that, but at the very bottom we're talking about the man who is an effectual hearer, or excuse me, not a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, will be blessed. Right? In other words, there is something that we must do and partake in to experience the result of this freedom. And we can all kind of relate to this, right? I mean, you do have to give some input into your nation to maintain that freedom, right? We just all can't be slugs on the couch. You know what I mean? We do have to, maybe later in life you can, but at some point you need to have some type of input so you can maintain that freedom that you have, to preserve it, to take care of it. Right? And that's really what this verse is talking about. We have a part here. We have a part. But it's not talking about a national freedom here. It's talking about a internal spiritual soul freedom that we have, that God has available for us through His Word, which is a neat thing to see, because we can also see how that affects us and how we can easily squander the freedom when we aren't participating in God's plan for our lives. So, and as you saw in the cycle here, you know, this does create, after the bondage, people that are spiritually healthy. Remember, you've got courage, you've got liberty, you've got abundance. Not only is there a courageous people who are willing to have input in their country to preserve that freedom, but they're also, part of courage is being willing to stand on a principle of truth and live by that truth. We used to have a lot of that here in the United States. Whether you realize it or not, there were people who knew where freedom came from. They wanted to preserve it, and they had the courage to take part in that preservation. And not only that, but they held to the truths of the Word of God to preserve it. That was part of the preservation, right? So, spiritually healthy people. And the good thing about spiritually healthy people is that they kind of tend to follow the laws of the land. You follow the rules, follow the laws of the land, guess what's preserved? Freedom. Freedom. So when you have an unhealthy spiritual people, guess what they don't follow? The law. The law. And all of a sudden now you have chaos, less freedom, or some type of tyranny, right? Or I guess you could have many different things, but that's just some of them. So, and I think we see that today, don't we? We see a lot of breaking of the law, and that is directly tied to a unhealthy spiritual people, spiritually unhealthy people. And now it seems like we see a lot of justification for breaking the law. This is why we supposedly can break the law, right? Which is never usually justified, but in the minds of some people, it at least appears to be, right? So, But the reality is Christians who are growing spiritually understand that it's not okay to break the law, right? And God's word actually tells us that we should follow the law of the land. I mean, in many, many different places. So I just wanted to mention that because spiritual abiding by God's rule is definitely tied to a nation that is free. Those two are together. If we could go around the globe and look at different countries and see which ones aren't free, we could make a correlation that there is a spiritual issue in that country every single time and in every single case. So what I'm telling you is abiding or Christians who are abiding by the Word of God, there is freedom there. And there's also things like what this word is here called abundance, but in our verse it's called blessings. Similar to this, but in the soul it's called blessings. Or it can be in the natural world, right? In the physical world can be an abundance. So let's go back to verse 25 here. But the thing about this is, what James is referring to these believers about is that there is a freedom to experience, and part of this means to abide by it. And I'm not sure we talked about this, but I'm pretty sure we did. But it relates to following God's rule so we can get out from the bondage that sin creates on our own personal lives. See, there's always something waiting to take away your freedom. And it's called the sin nature. And usually we are the ones that are responsible, actually always the ones that are responsible, for squandering our freedom in this life and creating our own prison around our own mind and soul when it comes to life, the spiritual aspect, and how we are enjoying or not enjoying life as we live it. So to experience this spiritual freedom, we have to be growing spiritually, and we have to be consistent. Those are the two things. Because if you're going to abide by anything, you have to be constantly doing it. Not only that, you have to know about what to abide by. There's a reason why you look at the speed limit signs. Because you understand that there is a rule, a law behind following the speed limit. Some of us have a hard time doing that sometimes, depending on where you're going or what you're doing maybe. Or what's on your mind or what's not in your mind. Maybe that was a bad example. But what I'm saying is abiding by laws takes some knowledge on our part. It really does. And it's no different with the Word of God. If we're going to follow it, we have to be consistent in learning about it. And well, what are we supposed to abide by? What does God want us to do? Right? So, at the end of this rainbow here, there is blessings. There is blessings. That's really what, I mean, everyone likes to know or desires is blessings. Where's the blessings, God? You know? Well, James is sort of giving us the formula for how to receive blessings, which is very, very cool to see because everyone wants those blessings, but they're not really sure how to get them, or they ignore the rule book on how to receive them. One of the two. There's always some type of issue there, right? But I'll tell you here early on that it's only through God, specifically through the Holy Spirit, that we can experience the freedom, the joy, the blessings that James is referring to. Remember, the freedom in this verse, the reason why he mentions freedom, because he's referring to a righteous lifestyle that is not completely devoid of the sin nature, but can handle and manage the sin nature to enjoy life as God wants us to enjoy it. So, that is freedom. There is contentment there. There is happiness there. There is a way to enjoy this life other than the way Satan wants you to enjoy it, right? And I would say, as we saw on the cycle there, spiritual freedom again and blessings lead to physical freedom and blessings. I think those are definitely tied together. Spiritual obedience leads to physical blessings. And no, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. I do think they are tied together, and I'll show you that in Scripture. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. So, and that's, you know, a blessing. I still think we're riding on the coattails of our ancestors when it comes to blessings. I really do. On what we were founded on, what they were abiding in and faithful to, we're sort of still riding on that, right? And this is a blessing that we enjoy, but and you can understand what I'm talking about. You can do whatever you want to do. You can go to any state you want to. You can drive where you want to drive. You can mostly do what you want to do within the law, right? No one's going to tell you what to do. You can make what you want to make. You can be what you want to be. I mean, you name it. Freedom is fun, and it can be really enjoyable because there's a lot of things of experience, and I would call all those things blessings of that the freedom has provided us, right? Or at least has the potential to be enjoyed. But what I love about what James is saying, he's saying that the blessing starts on the inside. He's saying that's where the blessing starts. It doesn't start out here on the outside. It starts on the inside. And it manifests itself on the outside. Many times it does. But it starts on the inside. Proverbs 28:20 says this, a faithful man will abound with blessings. Abound with blessings. But he who makes haste to be rich will not go unpunished. Well, that's a good verse to go along with our study, right? But did you notice what the blessings travel through? It's very similar what James is talking about. It travels through faith. Faith is what the blessings come through. It's through faith and the person who uses that faith in God, in the object of your faith, which is God, which, guess what, starts at salvation and continues through your spiritual life as a believer until you physically die and go to be home with the Lord, right? Actually, what I just described to you is a verse that you should be thinking of that is, well, let's just read the verse, Romans 1:17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. This verse right here is describing from salvation through the spiritual life of the believer. From faith to faith. And do you see what's happening here? There is a process that's taking place. And number one, the verse is showing us that it's the righteousness of God being revealed. We are learning about the righteousness of God. We're learning about who He is. We're learning about His character. We're learning about how perfect He is. We're learning about how much He loves us. And we're learning how to live because of who and what He is. So that is being revealed to us. Another thing that's happening is you are becoming more righteous as a result of that. I didn't say you're perfect, but we are learning how to live at least according to God's Word and be more like Christ than we would in any other place, which means you're living by faith. You're living by faith. And that's a good thing, right? Because now we're getting closer to something that we saw in that other verse. A faithful man will abound with blessings. But on the flip side of that, we have a lot of people in this world who are making haste to be rich and aren't realizing that they're, you know, basically paving their own way to being punished. To being punished. Because they're not living a life that is by faith, but they're living a life that is by, I guess you could say, faith in themselves, maybe, right? So that's faith to faith. A faithful man will abound with blessings. So I would say, instead of working on becoming a faithful believer, many people are working on making haste, as this verse is talking about. Unfortunately, right? But I would say, why not get the blessings? Why not go for the blessings? Well, you say, well, they are going for the blessings. Yeah, but there's a right way to go for the blessings. And I'll add on top of that, that the things they're chasing aren't blessings because they're not from God. Right? Because what James is referring to, and what this verse is referring to, a faithful man will abound with blessings, is it takes a positive believer to live this way. In other words, not all believers are considered faithful. And not all believers are going to experience this abundance of blessings. It says a faithful man. That can be anybody, but at the same time, it's not everybody. How about Psalm 37:3? Now, before we read this, I wanted to point out, I highlighted a lot in this verse because I wanted to show you what your part is. Remember, we're trying to maintain the blessing, maintain the freedom, and maintain the enjoyment of those things. Look at this, Psalm 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. That is not just sitting on the couch. It's not. That means you have a part to play in this. To become faithful, to live faith to faith each and every day, and to take part in making that faith applicable, or the application of that faith real in your life. That's what this verse is talking about. Trusting in the Lord and cultivating faithfulness are all about strengthening that faith to the point where you can trust in the Lord and maintain that cultivation is, you know, growing something. Right? It's keeping care of something so it gets to a better place. Faith is the same way. It starts here from faith to faith. It grows, right? Faith grows on top of faith. It builds on itself. So we've got a lot to do, and I don't mean necessarily in a physical sense, but there is, in a spiritual sense, a lot to do. I mean, you say, oh, that's easy to trust in the Lord. Well, is it? Why were you so stressed out the other day? Right? Could ask, go around the room and ask that. Yeah, well, I didn't trust in Him that time. That's exactly what I'm talking about, though. And also, another thing that I think we need to stop doing is stop trying to convince the Lord that if our circumstances somehow change, then we'll become a faithful believer. Then we'll be able to get more serious in our spiritual life. Because we have a tendency, whether you know it or not, that says, if I only was here, or if I only had this, or if I only was in a different position, if I had a little more time, then I could become a faithful believer. And we'll try to sort this out with God as if we've got all the answers. and we're giving him the answers so he can reply back a yes or no or whatever answer we want to hear. But look how God replies with faith. Because by the way, committing your way to the Lord and trusting in him on the end there is also faith. You notice there's just a strengthening of faith in what you can do with it and how much you can do. And all of a sudden, now he's going to reply. He's going to reply. He's going to respond to that faith with more of the freedom that we talked about and the enjoyment of that freedom. Look what he says. And he will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires of your heart. You know, there is a lot wrapped up in that one phrase. And you know, to me, that is very exciting because everybody has different things that they enjoy, that they would like to see happen, that God has put in you with certain spiritual gifts that you would like to see used in a certain way maybe, or in a certain, whatever the case. What I want to say is never lose hope when it comes to dreams, when it comes to the desires that you have being fulfilled. Never lose hope. Because what's happening here is God is waiting on you. You're not waiting on God for those things to be fulfilled. We always act like we're waiting on God. No, he's waiting on you to fulfill the desires of your heart. Well, when's this going to happen, God? You know, I've been praying about this for years. You still haven't answered my prayer. Well, we need to reevaluate. Because if we have the necessary faith in place, God will give you the desires of your heart. It's an equation, it's a formula that, you know, this plus this equals this, and there's no way around it. It locks us into the formula. We just have to follow it. We can't just say, okay, I'll do this much of my part, and then I'll stop and I'll get impatient. Well, what happened? That wasn't what was here in the verse, right? So, I don't care what it is that you may think or dream of when you go to sleep at night, or, you know, it doesn't matter. Number one, God knows those things. And number two, guess what God is capable of doing? Providing those things. Providing those things. But again, he's waiting on us to be obedient to his word. That's what he's really waiting on. Because, you know, that's really what builds faith and grows faith. The more you learn about who God is, the more you're able to trust him. The more you're able to trust who, you know, what he's going to do and how he's going to do it, you're not even concerned about that because your faith is 100%. You got this, God. And you know what? However you work it out, you work it out. But I know without a doubt that you've got this situation under control. Easier said than done, right? That takes some application. But all I'm saying is that God wants you to be able to handle the blessings in order before he gives you the blessings. He needs you to have the capacity to be able to handle the blessings. Because if we would have the things that we desire now, guess what you would lose sight of? Your spiritual life. Your spiritual life. The very thing that provided those things we'd lose sight of because our priorities weren't here, God first, everything else second, blessings included. It was kind of like right here. So when that blessing hit our life, guess what? It rose above the invisible spiritual life that you have because there's a lot to do. There's a lot to experience. I mean, it's very easy to get sidetracked in the spiritual life. It's very, very easy. Right? I mean, it can sometimes take you just a package showing up on your front door. boom, we're missing church. We got a new box. We got to enjoy this box. Right? Amazon showed up tonight. Honey, we've been waiting on this one for a long time. I mean, you know, there's you can order anything online, right? I mean, I was looking at a sauna the other day that would have showed up right on my front door. I said, man, wouldn't that be nice? Wow. So if I miss church, now you know why. But anyways, you get the point. This is not something that's trivial or you know, mysterious. It's something that's very real. It's something that's very real. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing. Another good verse. James is talking about blessings to those who abide. Same exact thing here. This verse is just saying it a little bit different way. But notice our part. Walking uprightly. That's our part. That's our part. And that doesn't mean, you know, walking with your nose in the air. That's not what that's saying. What that's saying is it's walking in God's righteousness and humility. Just the opposite. Just the opposite. And the result of that is what? Well, God will not withhold any good thing from the believer who does that. That's a big deal. And I suspect that's something we all want. It is something that we want. That we want to experience. It is. I mean, who doesn't want blessing? Who doesn't want every good thing that God is withholding? Right? But it says He's not going to do that, but there's a requirement. There's a condition here. There really is. It doesn't just say, you know, no good thing does He withhold from those who walk unrighteously or to those who are not serious about their spiritual life. It doesn't say that, right? Or even to those who believe in Jesus Christ. It says those who walk uprightly. That is a consistent Christian walk of a faithful, dedicated believer, is what it is, what that's showing us there. So, I would say even if you do desire blessings and orient your life around following God's Word, guess what? You still could have a problem, right? Because guess what's always waiting around the corner to steal your spiritual freedom and your blessings and the enjoyment of those blessings? The sin nature. The sin nature. James is really trying to get these believers to wake up. They're Christians, but they're not living the Christian life, and they're not happy as a result. So what does he do? He brings in the equation on how to get to spiritual blessings and physical blessings, as we just saw. So he sort of wakes them up. What did James say? While they're in all their fun that they're having, they're not enjoying the things that they're experiencing. They're unhappy. They're miserable. They're out of fellowship with God. And James is saying, well, here's how you become internally free and content. And also at the same time, here's how you get those blessings and are able to enjoy those blessings. I would want to pay attention to that. That's why he's hitting them with what he is now, because all he sees now is people who are unhappy, angry, bitter, and honestly just miserable. Sin takes away your contentment. It takes away your spiritual freedom. It takes every good thing away from us that we wish we could have. Right? But when we, like James said, when you follow God's law of freedom, we can experience that freedom. But as you are aware, dealing with our sin nature is a daily task. It's a daily thing. that we have to stay on top of. It really is. It takes moment by moment, day by day, monitoring your own thoughts, your own actions, and those things, and just maintaining those, that, right? It takes maintenance. But all this to say that God's internal freedom is a blessing to anyone who seeks and is able to enjoy it, and it also brings many, many other things that you desire and that God knows about. And James is describing this in another way, though. Look, did you hear how he's describing that? Not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. Same person we've really been talking about, just said in a little bit different way. It is. It's said in a different way. And what this is talking about is, what James is saying here is, this is, he's talking about a doer. He's talking about divine good production of the believer who is growing and applying the Word of God every day in their life. That's exactly what he is talking about. An effectual doer is one who that not just does, not just is a hustler for God, but one that is doing with intrinsic eternal value in what they do. And we can only do that through the Holy Spirit, by the way. Divine good, right? This man will be blessed. You know, what James is telling these believers who are not doing this makes perfect sense. Because they're just not doing it. They're not doing this. I mean, what a motivator to change your priorities. It was for me. I mean, it has to be for everybody. What's motivating you in this life? What keeps you going? What makes you tick? Do you wake up just because you're desiring that thing because it's driving you to receive it? It's the wrong way. You're going to fail and fall on your face because that's not where the blessing is. The blessing is when God wants to give it and what He wants to give. Right? Only He knows those things. We may have a good idea, but He knows what you desire too. So don't worry about that part. What we need to worry about is not becoming a forgetful hearer of the Word of God, but applying the things that we hear and walking by faith daily. Daily. So, what does it take? Just a desire. That's it. A desire on your part. Just a want to. That's all God asks of us. He just wants you to go in that direction. That's it. You say, wow, that's it? That is it. And before you know it, you're enjoying the fruit of faithfulness, we could call it. But as I was, you know, going through all these things, I said, you know, the funny thing about this, the irony of all this, is everybody's looking for this. Everybody is looking for what these verses are talking about. Freedom in their own mind, happiness, contentment, and physical blessings and spiritual blessings. Everybody's looking for them. But they're looking for them and they're trying to go around God to find them. They're going around the source. They're going around the rule book on how to get them, and they're trying to find them in the world. Well, number one, they can't find them in the world. They can't find them on their own without God, because God is the only source of what we're talking about here. That's it. That's the only place it comes. You know, it's like, oh man. It's a sad world sometimes, but you know, the sin nature can do that. It does make things very, very sad, but at the same time, Jesus Christ has defeated sin. That's the moral of the story, right? And people discover things all the time. But you know what? They seek contentment, they seek happiness, they seek the things, and they obtain some of these things, but guess what? they don't obtain what they were looking for. It doesn't give them what they were looking for. And so what happens is they're back on the search. They're back on the search. Once the newness is over, once the exhilaration is over, once the feel good is over, guess what you're back doing? Searching. Searching. And that never stops because of the sin nature. So the only way to stop the searching, the seeking, the desiring is to find contentment in the spiritual component of your life. If you're content in here, if you're not seeking in here, that's the start of experiencing the blessings that God wants you to experience. Once you stop searching, stop seeking, you say, well, how do I do that? I know it's tough, right? It's tough. But again, it goes right back to what we've been talking about, trusting in the one who has all the answers. Because at the end of the day, even though we obtain, we search, we seek, we keep finding these things of the world, guess what? After the newness fades off, guess what you're left with? You and the old sin nature. It's still your own self and your own miserable self most of the time that was looking for happiness, and then you realize, well, it's not here. It's just, I thought it was in this thing, but it's just not here, and all of a sudden it makes you even almost more miserable. Because now you have to go through the whole process again. Oh, that's called insanity, by the way. We keep doing the same thing over and over with the same results. So let's go to verse 26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Worthless. This should be a fun one. Well, I guess we get a little bit into it. We got a few minutes. This word religious here means an outward expression of what one believes. Or you could say, well, let me read the full thing. An outward expression of what one believes rather than what he believes. Hopefully those things are together. Right? Hopefully what you believe is tied to the outward expression of that. That's ideally, that's the way it should be. But I'll tell you right now, James is talking to a very religious audience. He's talking to Jews who came out of Judaism, whose idea of what spirituality looks like is out here. Right? I mean, think about what to them, what was considered spiritual were things like almsgiving, prayer, fasting. You see that? Regular attendance at worship services. Observance of holy days. Feast. Well, you say, oh, all those things are good. Yeah, but anybody can do those things. You can be a baby believer or you can be a mature believer. But their idea, they say, well, if I do these things, they at least feel like they're more spiritual. And that's a known subject in the Bible with Judaism, right? Pretty on the outside, not pretty on the inside. But that is pretty popular today, right? You know, another way to say this is people's faith or their religion is being put on display. It's being put on display, but at the same time, they're the biggest gossips in the church. That's kind of what James is referring to here. I like the way that sometimes you got to read the Amplified version because it's fun. Only if it's biblical. It's not always biblical, but they usually get it right. Look at this. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, and then in parentheses it says, piously observant of the external duties of his faith. and does not bridle his tongue, but deludes his own heart, this person's religious service is worthless. And then it says, futile or barren. That's pretty accurate. That's pretty accurate because pious in this, pious can be a good thing, but it can also be a bad thing. Because what it's talking about in here is the bad side of it, which means it's just being describing someone that's pretending to be religious, pretending to be faithful, spiritual. So all James is saying is that there is a disconnect. There's a disconnect. There's a big disconnect with Christians today between what they hear in church and how they live their life. We could all agree with that. There's a huge disconnect. That's what application, application is missing in churches. Why? Because the Holy Spirit isn't understood. Sin and what to do with sin isn't understood. Confession isn't practiced. It isn't taught. Well, no wonder. When you take someone out of being aware that you can be in fellowship with God or out of fellowship with God, guess what you have? A congregation that's out of fellowship. Well, Satan was all over that one, wasn't he? And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. So, and here it was with these Jews. There was a disconnect. Because what were they doing? Well, James knew they were unable to bridle their tongue. Bah. They would say stuff that they weren't supposed to be talking about. Right? So, at the same time, though, they're considered themselves to be religious. And I know we use that word in a different way, but we can think of that as a spiritual person. They considered themselves to be spiritual, a religious person, but at the same time, this was going on, and it was not tied to a spiritual person, a faithful person at all. It wasn't. So, that's a good place, I think, to stop, because we have a good word coming up called bridle. Bridle. And let me give you the definition of bridle so you can think about this word. Here's the word. Kalinagogeo is the word. And it means to hold in cheek, to restrain oneself from saying something. They weren't doing a good job with that. And I'll tell you, there's many things that we can say that we shouldn't say. What I'm saying is there's a lot of things that come to your mind while you're speaking to someone in church or outside of church that would be better off left in your mind. Because there is a part of you that wants to say it. That sin nature wants to say, oh, just tell them. Just talk about them. Just throw those darts in them. So anyways, we'll talk about this a little bit when we come back. And it's a good subject because it's so real and it's something that we have to deal with actually almost every day. I would say every day you have to deal with this. And you do have something to do in this equation, by the way, the bridling. And that can be the challenge. So, with that being said, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you for just allowing us to see, understand, and to be able to see not that this isn't just live life how we want to live. It's live life according to the way you have perfectly designed it. And you've even given us the clear picture, the rules, the guidelines on how to live in it. And it's so available, and we're just thankful to be able to have it so we can experience the freedom, internal freedom, and the blessings that come with that. We thank you and we ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.